song. Get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother should know.
You are listening to The Laura Ingraham Show. Your mother usually does know best. It's hard to admit it, but... when I look back on some of the things my mother told me when I was growing up, when I would shake my head or shrug my shoulders or grunt something in the typical adolescent way that you respond to parents' guidance, I think, gosh, my mom was really smart. And she didn't get everything right, but she got 90% of it right. It's pretty good. Now, it's easy to get discouraged as a mother, though. I mean, I see this sometimes with my own kids. That we feel like, oh, I can't do anything right. I try to set a good example, and then this happens or that happens, and it's like anything you put a lot of effort into. You've set sometimes unrealistic expectations. I mean, I have great kids. They're a handful, but they're great kids. And it's nothing is ever going to be perfect. It's hard though in today's society where you have social media and all these. You know, all these different outlets where you can read about supposedly all of these, you know, fantastic, beautiful, successful mothers whose kids are learning, you know, Mandarin, and sons are going off to Division I schools where they're playing, you know, sports. And, you know, they're like, meanwhile, like, wait, my kid's still sucking his thumb at age 7. I'm not referring to any of my children, by the way. I was reading a piece in... I think this was in Elle magazine. This was pretty interesting. This is typical of today's views of motherhood. Our long history of viewing motherhood through rose-colored lenses have left us with a good many blind spots toward the more disagreeable parts of making and raising children. Only recently have doctors and researchers begun to examine the physical and emotional fallout, documenting how and why the transition to motherhood is so hard for many women. A recent example comes from Norway, where researchers conducted a study for which they tracked nearly 85,000 women from pregnancy through their first 3 years of their children's lives and asked them questions about how having children affected their self-esteem. The findings are dispiriting, if unsurprising. Self-esteem tended to take a hit in the early years. The researchers found that having children did not trigger substantial long-term changes in maternal self-esteem, but it also didn't lead to increased self-esteem, at least over a period involving 2 pregnancies. The less happy a woman was with herself, the less happy she was with her partner. However, while self-esteem declined during pregnancy, relationship satisfaction remained steady during this period, et cetera, et cetera. Self-esteem. When I hear self-esteem, the first word comes to my mind is bunk, because we're always in search of better self-esteem for kids in school. It's like, oh, it's about self-esteem. It's about mindfulness. If I see that word mindfulness one more time, oh my gosh. Joining us now, Meg Meeker, author of so many great books, including author of Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need, Strong Mother, Strong Sons. She joins us now. Dr. Meeker, how's your self-esteem today? Is it okay? Doing all right?
Well, it was good until I became a grandmother, and my daughter just had a set of twins, and I'm so it's pretty low. But I totally agree with you. You know, you're so right. And Laura, you and I are sort of the same ilk. We've seen what women have done to each over the years, which is we have bred a sense of competition in the workforce and in parenting and in doing everything. And women, you know, chew each other up and spit each other out because we're mm-hmm. constantly comparing what we do with what our friends do. And we're not comparing how good our kids are or how nice our kids are
mm-hmm.
or how content our kids are. Character. We're comparing performance. Mm-hmm. And so this whole self-esteem thing for kids is all about performance. And this whole whole comparison that mothers are doing is about how well am I getting my child to perform in all these different areas of life compared to how well you're getting your kid to perform. And if my kid performs better than you, i.e. goes to the Ivy League school and goes to Yale Law School or is on the, you know, D1, you know, football team or whatever, then I'm a great mom. It's all ass backwards, and it all crumbles.
I want to throw this out to my listeners because we have a lot of moms, even grandmoms in the audience. Maybe you're a new mother, and it is true if you live in a metropolitan area, or you have to go to events. Maybe you go to professional events with your husband. It is true that in many parts of society, you feel like you're penalized as a person for just being a mom. I hear this all the time. Like I'm someone who juggles a lot of things, including motherhood. So this doesn't affect me, but it does affect a lot of women who make that really, I think, courageous decision and bold and smart decision if they can to stay home with their kids. And it suddenly people look right through you at events or parties. They look like through, like, there's nothing worse than hearing, what do you do? That's an American question, but what do you do? What do I do? I get up, I brush my teeth, I eat my breakfast, and I, you know, I daydream. What do you do? What do you do? You know, I'm a living human being doing the most important thing one can do, which is to nurture and care for and raise a child. Any questions? Like, you feel like you have to be defensive about it. That does concern me.
You know, but this is all created, and this is all happened in the past 30 years. In our mindset, exactly. Because first we had feminism that said, you will go out and beat men at everything they can do, and you'll win in that arena. And then and by the way, that's what's really valuable. So how dare you just stay home and be a mom and change the life of one or two or three people? So this is what women have done to each other, and then we brought that into parenting. Well, I'm gonna be the best, most perfect mother I can be, and I'm gonna have these children that end up looking like great performers. But here's what happens: because we're parenting the outside of the kid, we're not parenting inside. We're not parenting character. We're not parenting the soul or the spirit of the child, you know, their faith. And we're not teaching them that they are loved because they are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't teach kids that. So what happens is these kids grow up, and I've seen this so much. Kids go to University of Michigan, then they go off to law school, and then they go to, you know, end up in New York, and they're making a whole lot of money. And they're miserably unhappy. They don't have a good relationship with their parents because they knew all along what it was all about, which is, I am the puppet at the end of little marionette strings, and I have to be a great performer in order for my parents to boast about me. It's the cruelest thing we can do to children, but it also sets us up for misery because we set all these hoops that we as mothers need to jump through in order to get our kids these places, and the list just gets longer and longer, and there are more and more hoops, and it doesn't work. And every person listening to our voices knows it doesn't work, but we're afraid to stop doing it. I'm not afraid because I stopped doing it. And I left my medical practice for a number of years to be home and raise my kids. And then I went back to work. And guess what? I found out that there's all this work you can do after you're 45.
Yeah, good
Life
for you.
Doesn't just stop when your kids are older. And because our goal really as parents should be to raise kids who turn 25 or 30 or 35 and want to be with us because they enjoy us, because we have great, close relationships. But we don't focus on relationships. We focus on performance.
Performance, yeah. That's a really good
because
point.
Because our friends do. And I say this to mothers all the time. We're living on a crazy train. The crazy train is going really fast. We're not exactly sure where it's headed. But we don't want to get off. We want the lady next to us to get off first. We want her to pull back her job, or her to give up her $500,000 income, or her to take her kid out of football and say, you know what, I really want to be with you during my senior year because there's a lot I have to teach you before you go out to college. parenting courageously takes a lot of courage, and we're not wanting to live courageously.
Well, I think,
but until we,
you know, I just want to jump in here. I think part of it is that in today's world, the way people are still programmed, especially in school and so forth, the idea of raising healthy kids who have great character.
Yep.
That really isn't part of the curriculum. It's diversity.
No.
It's about diversity, and it's about the mythical self-esteem. Like, look, you want your kids to have confidence. Absolutely. But when I say self-esteem, it's just it's a catch-all for whatever politically correct nonsense is being shoveled at them at the time. And so when we then read these pieces about how motherhood is damaging to women's self-esteem because of all the pressures, societal pressures being put on women, and especially in the early childhood years, I think that's exactly the wrong way of looking at it. That's the coolest thing a woman could do. I mean, no, men can't do that. Like, you want to do stuff that men cannot have children. You can.
Right.
It's amazing.
How would you like to be a child who
it's
grew
amazing.
Up with a mother that said, my self-esteem is poor because I'm your mother?
Yeah, thanks,
How
Mommy.
How would you like to be that child?
Mommy, dearest.
Yeah.
I want to ask people this. Meg, hold on. I want to ask people this. What was your as let's keep it to moms if you could. Sorry, dads. We'll do dads another day. But just for mothers, what was the happiest, most joyful time of your adult life as a mother? What part of your I should say as an adult? I want to see how many say it's when they were raising their kids when they were small. Because I think you go through raising your kids when they're small and you're like, oh my God, I need to get out. I need to, it's, and I had that when my kids were really little. I was like, oh my God, I've got to talk to an adult. Like, it never seems to end. But then you go, oh, I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss those
what
types
happened?
Of hugs. So I want to ask that 855-40-LAURA. What was your happiest time as an adult? All you women out there, the happiest time of your adult, especially if you have kids. 855-40-LAURA, motherhood, raising children, raising the bar for ourselves or trying to compare ourselves to others. It's about raising kids with good character. If you have good character, they're going to do really well. And most importantly, they'll be happy individuals. 855-40-LAURA.
The Laura Ingram Show.
Mom these days is not easy. It is no longer enough if you just love, care, and provide for your child. These days, moms are expected to live up to this high, crazy standard dictated by millions of strangers all over the internet.
To the Laura Ingram Show, 855-40-LAURA. That video goes on to talk about how you're supposed to bake gluten-free and you're supposed to sugar-free, nut-free. Pretty funny. We continue with Meg Meeker, author, counselor of parents and children, pediatrician. We put a lot of these ridiculous standards on ourselves for parenting. And I asked a question, Meg, we'll go to our listeners, but the happiest times of women and their adult lives, especially if you've had children, looking back, or even maybe you're experiencing it now. May in California, line three. May.
Yeah, hi. I just have to say my favorite time is actually being pregnant, the delivery, and breastfeeding my baby.
Wow.
I have three kids, and I loved every moment of it, and that's what I miss the most.
Aww.
And I was a stay-at-home mom for 24 years.
Awesome. You're a stay-at-home mom for 24 years. So you like the pregnancy part better than the changing the diapers part, in other words?
Yeah, I do. I really do. But I still love changing the diaper, too. I just love it all. And I wouldn't have done it three times. And
you wish you did it more times, clearly. She wishes she did it more times. Let's go to Deborah, Wisconsin, line four. Deborah.
Hi. My favorite time actually is, well, I was a stay-at-home mom too. I have been for about 24 years also, and my oldest son just bought his first house, and he loves having us over to spend time with him. and my youngest son has a learning disability, and we just had a fundraiser for his adaptive sports league, and just all the families supporting their children and the children supporting their parents.
This is great sentiment, Meg, and it boils down to that. Like she said, her oldest son loves to have her come over and visit, and helping her youngest son who has some special needs. That's life.
See, there you go. And that's life, and that's what we need to ask ourselves when our kids are 2 and 3 and 5 and 10. What's my goal with this child? I believe our goal as parents are to raise kids who understand why they're on the earth, that they have value because they are, and God gave them to us, and kids who have great relationships with family and want to be with family. And that's the fundamentals, and yet we leave that behind and we replace it with, well, I want my kid to feel good about themselves because they're a better dancer than somebody else or they're smarter than somebody else. It has nothing to do with that. What brings mother's great joy and kids' great joy is understanding they belong together as a mother-child team, and that's going to last for years and years, and our goal is to enjoy each other and understand that we're valued because we have each other. That's the good stuff in life.
Oh, I agree. Let's go to Terry in South Carolina. Terry.
I totally agree with what your guest just said. A long time ago, I changed our Christmas, and I looked at my five children and I said, listen, we're done with the presents. You have parents who are Santa Claus year-round. We are going to spend our Christmases doing something together. I have five. My oldest is 40. My youngest is 30. It is so awesome, and it's like, okay, what are we doing this year, Mom? And sometimes they all just come home, and we spend a Christmas of games, and I say, everybody bring
fun?
Your favorite game. And I looked at my kids, and I said, they started to have grandchildren now.
Aww.
And I said, you know now.
Aww.
These children are the best ever. And I said, all they have to do is just be. You
be
know
with
that
them.
Now.
Just
all
be with
just
them. Just be.
Oh,
isn't that great? That's what the title of, hey, Terry, that's the title of Meg's next book should just be. Just be. Meg, we just gave you the next book title.
Well, I'm working on it right now, to tell you the truth.
All right.
That's great. Thanks.
Good. I love just be. Oh, that's great. Thanks for those stories, guys. We have to take a break until tomorrow. Fox and Friends in the Morning.